Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's Fashion with Penelope Noir.
Hey, how are you, Penny?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, it's really nice to see you.
It's good to see you too.
People.
No lipstick though, because you can't with mask.
I know, that is the one thing. I do love a bold red lip.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to have to be a bold coloured eyeshadow person or something.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. What are we talking about on Fashion this morning?
I thought we'd continue on with glam. Just because I'm finding it quite fascinating.
I'm loving it, yeah. I'm loving this glam rock history.
And I thought we'd do Sweet.
Sweet.
People might know them as The Sweet, but apparently they're just Sweet.
Okay.
Sweet.
Sweet. we'll just say it for the next 10 minutes. That's the
Sweet
segment.
they wrote songs like Boring Blitz, which is probably their most well-known. Fox on the Run, which is my favourite.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a better lady, as you'd expect from glam metal.
Yeah.
They formed in the UK in 1968, but there'd been a lot of members kind of interlocking prior to that. I think the earliest was a soul band in like maybe 64 or something like that. And they did have like kind of acquaintances that I think one went on to form Deep Purple. And
oh, true.
So that sort of thing. Their original lineup was Brian Connolly, Steve Priest, Mick Tucker, and Frank Torpey, I think that's written down, and then later replaced by Mick Stewart and then Andy Scott. And I believe Andy Scott is the last kind of touring member at the moment.
Right, okay.
Who's doing Sweet tracks. They were originally called The Sweet Shop and then they abbreviated it. And their first number one was a song called Blockbuster in 1973. And although they'd been releasing songs prior to that.
Yeah.
But when they did the Christmas Top of the Pops, one of them wore, I think it's called a Pickle Harbour helmet from World War One, a Hitler moustache,
right,
an SS tunic and a swastika and full makeup and platform.
And they were allowed to wear that on Top of the Pops.
Indeed. And he'd borrowed it from a BBC wardrobe backstage.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is some controversial stuff.
Yeah. So they're quite interesting, actually. Like, I knew about the band because I knew about their most famous song, which I guess is Boring Blitz. But I didn't kind of know much about their backgrounds. So when they were releasing these songs prior to, I guess, Blockbuster. They were kind of doing kind of Archie's kind of bubblegum pop.
Right,
so
okay.
They kind of mixed it with kind of hard riff kind of stuff.
Well, their style, just like Googling some images of them now, is very kind of cartoon glam.
Yeah. And it's quite interesting because their management kind of pushed them to be like that.
Right.
And they were signed to a writing duo, so all their A-sides were written by somebody else and performed by session musicians.
No way!
The first five singles, yeah. But the band played the B-sides, which were their original hits, and they
cool.
played those ones. But they were miming, of course, when you used to mime
on
the
TV.
Top of the Pops anyway. But I didn't know that. So it's like Nicky Chinn and Mark Chapman that wrote the first five singles.
Right.
Their manager was called Paul Nicholas, and he was the actor in Hair. So it kind of shows you how kind of...
So there really
campy.
Was like some stage glam going on,
yep.
like real theatre lineage kind of there.
Yeah, totally. But they kind of, like they when you read interviews and things like that, they really kind of hammed it up. Like I guess they kind of really camped it up. And some of their comments are quite homophobic.
Right.
So it's quite interesting that they kind of were very masculine men that kind of like to the point where they would go on stage with handbags and things like that.
Well, yeah. And so then they were kind of, I guess maybe trying to push against some sort of like fear of being seen as gay or something?
It was really weird because they kind of used derogatory terms and stuff like that in some of the interviews, and they were like, yeah, our management was trying to make us look like, you know.
Something,
yeah.
That's really interesting. That says a lot about the time and the place of a band like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think it really does. And they kind of wore massive platforms, shiny satin jumpsuits, massive capes like the Elvis ones with the big collars.
Wow.
They had the classic kind of 70s mullet, you know.
Yeah, there's a bit of a Joan Jett vibe going to this here. I'm looking at one photo that I've found here. It's got some gold like vinyl pants and a gold vinyl waistcoat, and they say Handy Andy on the pants and kind of like bright red lettering. It is, it's very, you know, quality street chocolate wrapper kind of a vibe going on.
Yeah, it's just so glittery and tinsel, eh?
Massive cape in this photo as well. It's just, yeah, it's really, they kind of look like action figures. Look like little dolls.
That's
or something.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently they were, according to Flood magazine, Sweet were a massive influence on bands like Motley Crue and Red Cross.
Right.
Which you can totally see. Yeah. They did this one song, which is the first song they were able to play on, called Wig Wham Bam. And Brian Connolly, the lead singer, is wearing a silver suit, glitter stars under his eyes. He actually looks like he's wearing a body stocking with diamantes stuck on him. But there's a lot of, you know, inappropriate cultural appropriation on that one, as you can imagine.
Yes, it sounds like these guys weren't too worried about being...
I think it was the time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it was them, essentially. I think, you know...
It was the place, then, the space, kind of. Yeah.
And the other thing that they were kind of very notoriously known about was their party lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. Very Motley Crue.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently, at one stage, they were invited by Pete Townsend to play a massive gig for the, like support for The Who in London. And unfortunately, the lead singer, Brian Connolly, was beaten up outside a pub, like, quite badly. And he was kicked in the throat and it affected his vocal cords. And so he couldn't quite sing the same anymore. And, of course, it affected his confidence and he became an alcoholic.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, and so they just kind of never were Sweet as they were, essentially, again.
Yeah.
They did have lots of... reformations and different people come in and stuff like that.
I'm looking, actually, there's some stuff from a 40th anniversary tour here, and I think, is it Brian, did you say, is the lead? Yeah. He's got on a beautiful wig that looks much like his hair from when he was a young man, but much longer and even more sort of like Joni Mitchell-esque almost.
Oh, what
it's
year
quite
is that?
Something.
Because I think he passed away in 1997.
Yeah, this looks like it from a wee while ago, but... is looking pretty special in this photo as well.
I think I saw somewhere that they were coming here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like maybe next year.
Wow.
Yeah, I forgot to double check that, but I'm pretty sure I saw, or maybe it's like a tribute band.
Oh, yeah. Could also be that. Could also be that.
But I think, like, their costumes, like, if you take away the inappropriateness of some of it, their costumes are really, really amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I think on the Blockbuster one, Brian's wearing this completely gold suit with a massive tiger face on the front of it.
Oh, I see. It's Andy Scott who's wearing the beautiful work here as well. That makes more sense. Yeah. Handy Andy.
Yeah.
There we go. A beautiful tiger suit, though. They really are leaning into this kind of wonderful sort of cartoony glam.
And especially, I think, Steve Priest, the bassist, was pretty cool. Like, when you watch the videos, he really hams it up. And, like, they do this kind of thing where Brian will go, "Are you ready, boys?" And they'll be like, "We're ready!" You know, like, this sort of thing. It's actually quite cool.
It sounds fun.
Yeah.
We've got a few texts in from people who love Sweet or the Sweet, saying thanks, Penny, for bringing this one up today. And thank you very much, Penny. I'm really enjoying the glam rock series that we've got going on here. It is fun. We are going to listen to Ballroom Blitz now. Are you going to keep glam rocking next week?
I think so, because there's so many bands with so many amazing costumes.
And they're all really quite different as well. That's what I think is interesting, is people kind of put glam under one umbrella, but it is actually very different band to band, as most, you know, fashions are.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Penny.
Thanks.
This is Ballroom Blitz by Sweet. You're on BFM and it's very nice to have you here.
The man at the back said, "Everyone attack," and they turned into a ballroom blitz. And the girl. sight, searching heaven's all I ever do. Oh, I softly call you over when you feel there's nothing left in you.
This is Ballroom Blitz by Sweet. Lots of love for Penny's glam segment coming through, so thanks for those nice texts. Grizzy said she loved The Sweet when she was a kid. Someone else has said Wayne's World. Yes, very, very good scene in Wayne's World featuring this track. Someone else has said it's got big Rocky Horror vibes. And apparently they toured New Zealand in the early 70s, and this person saw them at Aukara Park in Whangarei, which is wild and very cool. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Thank you very much, Penelope Noir.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.